Your radio at 640 Toronto. Your news, your views, your city. Listen online at 640toronto.com. How about some depth with those headlines? The John Oakley Show, the new Mojo Radio. Your news, your views, your city. 640 Toronto.
9:39. Good morning. Friday morning, the edition of the Oakley Show continues on here, and we've been talking about the situation with Yasser Arafat, and I'm sure the Jewish and Arab peoples of Toronto are awaiting word on when he may or may not expire here. It seems to be one of these situations clouded in mystery, wrapped in a riddle, and blah, 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 shrouded in an enigma. It's really, there are so many questions to be asked, not the least of which is where he should be buried, if he should be allowed to be buried in Jerusalem. As Ariel Sharon said, just not going to happen. It's a non-starter, that. So we're taking your calls, and also what his imminent death would augur for Middle East peace and a resolution of that situation, Palestinians and Israelis. 870-6400 is the number, 870-MOJO, on cell, star 640. I'll put some perspective to this, or at least into context, a man who certainly knows his beat far better than I. He's covered it for more than 20 years. The publisher of MiddleEast.org, Mark Brzezinski, has joined us on the line this morning. Mark, it's nice to have you on the Oakley Show here in Toronto.
Thank you very much.
I'm curious as to the situation surrounding Arafat at the moment. It seems to be shrouded in a lot of mystery and intrigue, you know, not even a report, credible reports of his situation or his condition. Is there a reason for that?
Well, I think there is. There's an awful lot of money, an awful lot of properties, an awful lot of secret bank accounts, and the Tawil family, which he married into when he married Suha, and his top lieutenants, cronies many would call them, including myself. I know most of them personally, Nabil Shah, the foreign minister. And of course, when I use these terms, I've got to put them in quotes, because there is no state. There is, in fact, a series of occupied and walled-in ghettos now, an apartheid situation that the Palestinians live under. And that's going to be, sadly and tragically, that's going to be the legacy of Yasser Arafat as he passes. But we really shouldn't focus so much on the passing. That will happen. That was inevitable. The issues all remain the same. The big historical issues all remain the same. And the possibilities of a two-state solution probably are dying even as Arafat dies.
So what comes next? Is it going to be a positive development, or do you think it's going to backslide into the abyss in an even worse condition?
There are no more positive developments on the horizon because of the policies in the past, largely, in my view, the policies pursued by Israel and the United States. There are no good options anymore. The situation is very bleak. The world is already at war. The Arab-Israeli conflict acted as a poison, as a cancer, which helped bring us to the situation we're all in. The United States is clearly on a warpath. The Israelis have been taken over by revisionist Zionism. That's hardline Zionism, the Iron Wall of Jabotinsky, rather than the visions of Ben-Gurion or Haddam or other Jewish leaders of history. Arafat will pass under the worst of circumstances, and the great victor in the short term is Ariel Sharon. However, in the medium and long term, I fear for all of us under these circumstances.
So this is really an irreconcilable mess, then, in Israel proper with, you know, the Palestinians and their desire for...
Well, it didn't have to be. It didn't have to be. 20 years ago, there was a serious movement for a real solution, a real two-state solution. It wouldn't have been totally just. It would have had some opposition, but it would have also had broad support, and it would have been minimally credible to both sides. But what existed, the possibilities of 20 years ago, are no longer the possibilities. And in a sense, Arafat's passing symbolizes the death of the two-state solution. And that's exactly what the current leadership in Israel wants. And, you know, to watch the American president yesterday say, God bless his soul, and he's going to work hard for a two-state solution, you know, that's all a bunch of crap. And frankly, the media should take apart the American president for all of the duplicity and lies and slanders. Yeah, he got himself reelected, or at least that's what most people think. But that doesn't change the fact that the United States is now a war country pursuing its policies based on lies and deception. And there's a name for that in history. That has happened before in history when people elected to power have used lies, deception, military power, propaganda. Do I have to tell you what the name is?
Yes, fascism.
And interesting, last night I was at one of the big Washington bookstores, Politics and Prose, where an establishment writer who works for the Philadelphia Inquirer has just done a book about the Iraq War. And in the pre-discussion, because the author was a little bit late, one of the people from the audience, she looked to me like she was maybe in her 60s. She uttered the word, and then everyone turned around and looked at her. She uttered the word, "Our country's become fascist."
Let me just stop you there. I mean, besides going off into this direction, I know it's
gotcha.
A tangent to...
gotcha.
Because all roads kind of lead back to, let's say, Jerusalem. And this is the idea that Arafat somehow... the contentious point is whether or not he should be allowed to be buried there. What's your thought on that?
Well, that, of course, is the additional tragedy, that in the end, at the time of his demise, those around him are acting more like vultures, very busy collecting his bank accounts and properties.
What's that worth, by the way? What do you put his net worth at?
Oh, I have no way of knowing that. It's certainly a huge amount. The reports I've seen go into the billions of dollars. Do I believe them to be credible? Yes, I do. But the great tragedy in the end, of course, is that his arch nemesis, Sharon, decides how and where he's going to be buried. The Israelis would love him to be behind in the ghetto of Gaza, and they're pushing for that, even threatening the Palestinians that they will only allow a state funeral if he's buried in Gaza.
Let me just stop you here now. I'm hearing a report that the Al-Aqsa Mosque, which is Temple Mount, side by cheek by jowl, there are strident Muslims there, or the overseers of the Al-Aqsa Mosque, that say he could not be buried there because he married Suha, who is a Catholic Palestinian, in other words, a heathen.
Well, she converted. I'm sure there is some sentiment like that, but my guess would be, not knowing the officials you're commenting on, my guess would be that because of the corruption that Arafat has allowed for so many years, because of the mismanagement, because, you know, as the symbol of Palestinian nationalism, the Palestinians all salute Yasser Arafat. But the actual man, the policies he pursued, the people around him, the miserable state to which he misled his people. Of course, the first responsibility is the Israelis are guilty for having brought about this situation. Then I think the Americans are the next party that's guilty. But Arafat played the game for a long time, and he played it terribly, and he played it very badly. And even if the people in charge of Al-Aqsa were to say, yes, we'd like him to be buried here, Sharon is certainly never going to allow that. There are no good choices for Arafat. The Israelis will try to push him to Gaza. They'll probably fail. In the end, he might be buried in Ramallah, but Ramallah is a little ghetto now surrounded by the Israeli army everywhere, and he has to get Ariel Sharon's okay even to have his body brought back.
All right, hang on to that thought here for a second. I also want to find out why specifically he went to Paris. This is kind of telling.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the man. You've met him on three occasions, had an opportunity to interview him. We're talking to Mark Brzezonski, who's the publisher of MiddleEast.org, intimately familiar with the Middle East. We're asking about Arafat and whether you think he ought to be buried in Jerusalem. Sharon says not going to happen. That's number one. Number two, the Middle East, can there ever be peace there? And has the passing of Arafat, or the imminent passing of Arafat, paved the way for maybe some kind of rapprochement? 870-6400, 870-MOJO, on cell star 640. You hear it.
it almost every day. Another gang attack, home invasion, murder. What's going on with our city, and what's being done about it? Are we safe? Where is the city headed? Hear the stories, ask the questions, and get the answers. The Beat, weekday mornings at 10 on the New Mojo Radio, 640 Toronto. No other radio program goes behind the police lines and into Toronto streets to uncover the real stories. Join former Toronto Police Union leader Craig Bromell for exclusive information and special guests who know crime and how it's affecting all our lives in Toronto. The Beat, weekday mornings at 10 on the New Mojo Radio. Your news, your views, your city. 640 Toronto.
Sir?
What?
Why are you changing that gas price sign?
Duh, so it's cheaper?
You work here, sir?
No. Hey, what's your problem, officer?
Wish you could lower gas prices? Head to the GM Canada-wide clearance. Only GM offers the preferred price card that gives you 20 cents off per liter on 2,500 liters of gas. Plus, get a $1,000 bonus plus 0% purchase financing on most 2004s and select 2005s. Some restrictions apply. Financing term after 60 months OAC. See paper for details.
Rachel and Ted want to go to Cancun. They're going to get their vacation package their way with Expedia.ca. The flight's good and the jungle tour, very cool. I'm just not sure about the hotel.
What?
It's just that...
Well, we can change it.
Nah, but it's part of the package.
Not anymore.
Just like that, huh?
Yep.
In that case, go with the funky four-star on the beach.
Ooh, want to catch an earlier flight?
Yeah, like tomorrow. Choose the flight, hotel, and activities you want, so you get your package your way. Expedia.ca. Now we're getting somewhere.
It's game time.
You can join Budweiser and the new Mojo Radio 640 Toronto at Hoops Sports Bar and Grill for all the NFL action and the chance to win Budweiser and NFL prizes. You can bring it all home with the Rogers Digital NFL Sunday Ticket Package or other Budweiser prizing. It all goes down at Hoops Sports Bar and Grill, 458 Yonge Street this Monday night as the Minnesota Vikings battle the Indianapolis Colts. Brought to you by Budweiser. When it's game time, your place is here. No purchase necessary. Must be legal drinking age.
News, interviews, and all the work stoppage issues. It's the ultimate NHL lockout show. No hockey. Weeknights from 8 to 9 p.m. on your lockout information station. The New Mojo Radio, 640 Toronto.
HDTV is the place for S-O-N-Y. That stands for Sony, of course, while HDTV and Electronics is the store that stands for great Sony offers at Highway 7 and Leslie in the Times Square Plaza. What kind of offers are we talking about? It's a chance to get a Sony LCD Vega or Plasma Vega with incredible end-of-line in-store specials. You heard it right, the kind of prices on Sony LCD and Plasma TVs that you never thought possible. HDTV and Electronics, your high-definition specialist, Highway 7 and Leslie in the Times Square Plaza.
At Brandis Investment Partners and Company, they don't like to make a lot of noise about themselves. And that mature attitude reflects their vision of investing. Brandis believes in value investing, emphasizing the accumulation of wealth over the long term versus the pursuit of potentially fleeting short-term gains. Discipline, patience, consistency. Now that's a worthy vision. Brandis, B-R-A-N-D-E-S. Take a look online at www.brandisinvestments.ca.
Get it set, Toronto. Call the John Oakley Show now. 416-870-6400. Star 640 on your cell. The new Mojo Radio. Your news, your views, your city. 640 Toronto.
All right. Putting the call out to Toronto's Palestinian community, or Arab community, if you will, and Jewish community as well, wondering if Arafat, it looks imminent that he'll pass, should be buried in Jerusalem, A or nay, and other attendant questions have to do with whether Middle East peace now, if and when the old man's out of the way. 870-6400, star 640 on cell. Our guest online is Mark Brzezonski, publisher of MiddleEast.org. Taking your calls, let's go to Dean first off. Thanks for your patience. Dino.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Okay. My quick point basically is that taking a look at the conflict, both leaders, whether it's Yasser Arafat or any Israeli prime ministers, have committed crimes. I mean, Ariel Sharon is a war criminal. So, you know, whether Yasser Arafat should be buried in Jerusalem or not, the question here to me is, you know, he shouldn't be painted with a different brush compared to any other Israeli leader. One leader does it in the name of freedom, killing innocent people. The other leaders do it in the name of security and defense. So, people are dying on both sides of the fences. Why is it that an Israeli leader will be, obviously he'll be giving a state funeral, he'll be able to be buried anywhere he wants, and he'll be given the royal treatment? So why is it that when it comes to a Palestinian leader, all of a sudden he's a terrorist, which, you know, you can make a strong argument that he is.
All right. You know, I mean, that's the old axiom about one man's freedom fighter and another man's terrorist. Does either party have the high moral ground here, Mark?
You know, it's politically correct to, quote-unquote, be even-handed and see things from both sides. I'm afraid the American media and the Israeli media have so twisted people's perceptions, so let's call it straight. One people is under military occupation. One people has been disenfranchised, turned into refugees, had their lands taken from them, and the situation is now far worse than apartheid ever was. That people has a legitimate right to fight for their independence, to fight for what has happened to them. That people has been promised repeatedly, going back 50 years, that they would not be disenfranchised, that their country would not be taken from them, and then when it was, that they would have an independent state of their own.
So there is... Hang on just a second. That right to fight, does that include like 14-year-olds strapping bombs to themselves, going onto buses and into discos and pizzerias?
They can choose their way to fight. I'm amazed that you would want to choose it for them, just like the Americans choose their way to fight, the Japanese chose their way to fight. The Americans have heroes. Every night on American TV, you see the American heroes who die in Iraq for democracy and freedom. That's all a bunch of crap, of course. The Americans are an imperialist power who have invaded Iraq. When it comes to the Palestinian struggle, I'll let them decide how they're going to fight, and if they decide they're going to use one tactic or another, you may not like it, I may not like it, but it's not our decision.
But you don't think that's unconscionable to do? I mean, that you've got that premeditated idea of going in to take innocent lives purposefully.
I don't know what innocent lives you're talking about. One country is occupied by another. One country is bombing refugee camps with F-16s and tanks made for the battlefield against the Soviet Union. The other party has a few guns, a few homemade rockets, and they're willing to give up their lives for their struggle. I mean, this whole thing is so out of balance when it's discussed in North America that people in the Middle East don't even recognize the discussion.
So what you're saying is we've been propagandized here.
Worse than can be imagined. It's the situation in America, and I hear the same is in Canada, I know. The situation is so bad that a legitimate, honest discussion of these issues has become, for most Middle Easterners, impossible in the North American media.
Let's take some calls. We're with Mark Brzezinski, again, publisher of
MiddleEast.org.
Yeah, MiddleEast.org. Let's get Sam in here. Sam, quickly.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm not an Arab, but I'm a Muslim from Iranian descent. I'm a Canadian-Iranian. I've been living in this country for the last 20 years, and one reason why I'm here is because of people like Arafat, a thug, a murderer that has killed countless innocent people from all stripes, from all religion, all backgrounds. He is the one who cooperated with the Hezbollah. He is the one who is... cooperated and helped to topple the regime, the former regime in Iran, and helped Ayatollah Khomeini and his extremists to take power. He is the one who helped foment trouble in Iraq and other parts of the world. He's basically, his hands are covered with blood from innocent people from all religion, all nationalities, and one of your former callers is totally correct. That it would be outrageous for us Muslims to think that somebody of his stature, of low life stature that he was, and he still is, unfortunately still in this world, could possibly be buried in such a holy place for us Muslims.
All right.
So I would be disgusted to think that this could possibly happen, and I pray to God that Allah is great and he will burn in hell.
All right, why are you chortling?
I don't know who your caller is, but I've traveled the Middle East many times. I've been there since I was in graduate school about 200 times. I have many Muslim friends around the world. None of them that I know would think that your caller is either a real Muslim or is honestly discussing what any serious Muslim group believes. It sounds to me...
Well, what do they see Arafat as a great liberator and a friend to Islam?
No, they see Arafat as the leader of the Palestinian Revolutionary Movement attempting to establish a Palestinian state. He's not a particularly Muslim figure, but he's definitely a highly credible nationalist figure. I've already told you how corrupt he is. I've already told you how inept his administration is. But there's so much propaganda, as I told you, in North America. And frankly, in my experience over the years, many of the callers to talk radio programs aren't who they say they are,
yeah, but
and
Mark,
many of them are put up to it by different organizations.
A lot of refugees that have come to Canada specifically because they didn't want to live in this so-called state that was being advanced by Yasser Arafat. They
there is no
tyranny as much as anybody else.
There is no state. The state was prevented by the United States, Israel. Your own country was certainly complicitous in this over the years. It's a terrible place to be living right
Mark,
now.
I've got to go. I appreciate your points of view, and we'll talk again down the road, I'm sure.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mark Brzezinski at MiddleEast.org. Let's come back with a final word. The Oakley Show, the new Mojo Radio, 640 Toronto.